Yeah. Standard. Roll call, I guess. Jim Couts.
Janice Van Wyhe.
Use the microphone, please.
Janice Van Wyhe, board member.
Brandon Erickson, board member.
Online folks, I guess. Don Meeks.
Jessica Barksdale, board member.
John Raffinelli, board member.
So everybody get the minutes from last month?
Yep.
Okay. Have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as distributed from last month.
Second the motion.
Thanks, Don.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed.
Okay, yes, let's start. Can you get manager?
Microphone. Thank you, Ross Hoover, Parks and Nature. Public comments. Just wanted to share, we received an interest email to consider a land swap for an adjacent property owner to one of our parks properties. So David Stipe, park planning manager, is looking into that and will come to a future meeting with some details on that for your advice and advisory vote as needed. So
is that strip we've talked about?
Yeah, this is at Northeast 50th Avenue, and it's a strip along the edge of the property. So we will bring more content to you when we have something to report, but just wanted to make sure that was made public. We received that and are considering that. Jim, would you like me to proceed to manager's report? Okay, thank you. Yeah, so we are in the midst of a big year. 2025 is a significant capital investment year for us. We have a number of projects happening in different phases of the development of the projects, and some exciting things taking shape throughout the county in various parks. So everybody's working really hard to deliver final high quality projects. And so Lindy, in just a moment, will give us an update on some of those projects that she's focused on and working on. Wanted to first share a couple updates with you. One, the regional funding effort, the regional parks funding effort that we kicked off several months ago. We have been to city councils at all of the councils except for Ridgefield, which will be at the end of the month on the 28th. We'll be at the city Ridgefield City Council to share with them details about the regional funding task team and their opportunity to participate in that and their opportunity to elect a councilor to serve on that task team. And so far, we've received, I think, some great questions from councilors, genuine interest in what that task team is going to be focused on. And so it's shaping up to kick those off in early September. Within the next 3 weeks, probably, we'll have that first meeting off the ground. The first meeting at this point is purely orientation, kind of overview, background overview, and talk about the kind of the format of the discussions and deliverables. And we'll review the charter that we developed with the group at that point and answer any questions that any counselors have. So that's proceeding. The Clark County Council has set the expectation that this group return with a recommendation. There's some type of concept recommendation for how we can create a sustainable future for parks, not just in the county system, but also the city systems. And so the plan is that we would have some report as a product of this work, of this task team work, that will bring together the thoughts, concerns, and opinions of all of the cities and electeds throughout the county. So then the next stage of that work would be really connecting with community, connecting with our nonprofits, our for-profits that we partner with throughout the county, and have a really good opportunity to listen and hear what our community members want to see if there was a regional approach to funding parks. The next stage would be a outside consultant performing market research. So pulling together focus groups, a statistically valid survey, interviews with key stakeholders, interviews with electeds, and that would then provide the data for county council to make a decision as to how to proceed with that recommendation. So those are the steps before us, and I just wanted to provide a quick update as to where we're at. Jenny presented at Jenny Coker, Deputy Director of Public Works, presented at the Camas Council, but we've also visited with City of Vancouver Council twice. Was just at Yakult last night, and Washougal, of course, and who else am I forgetting? Battleground. So really good conversations, and we've got, I think we'll have a really good task team and some really good thoughts and conversation happen there.
Are you and Dave getting ramrod in this?
Dave Perlick So Dave Perlick absolutely is. So we see this really as an opportunity for all of the cities to come together and figure out what the future looks like. Vancouver, I think being the largest city in the county, has a really important voice in this as well. And Dave Perlick absolutely has been at the forefront of leading this. So, yeah. Any questions or thoughts on any of that as it relates to future funding and a regional funding approach?
That last step of the opinion gathering is what I jotted down as part of the public meetings to get the public's opinion. And then you said something about a statistically valid survey.
Correct.
And other, was that a contract job to do
It is.
Okay.
Yep. And so we presented that as a capital adjustment for this budget year to our council last week. And they approved that. So we will proceed with that if and when we get to that step.
Two questions. I think maybe you touched on the first one, but a refresher would be appreciated. First one is, can you remind us what role the Parks Advisory Board is going to play, like in the task force, in the development of this process? And then secondly, can you summarize what kind of questions or comments you received as you went out to go and talk with the city councils?
Yeah, thank you. Yes. So the Parks Advisory Boards, committees, commissions, it takes a different shape in every jurisdiction. So I fully expect that boards such as this one will have a really active role, I think, at two key steps. One, the second step where there's a broad community conversation with key stakeholder groups. So think about all of the youth sports groups, the horse organizations, equestrian folks, the fishing folks, the kayakers, canoers, paddleboarders, youth, teens in our community. And then I see parks advisory boards and commissions being a key part of that, and defining what it looks like to have a regional funding source. What then are the key needs as we identify through the conversation? So that step, absolutely. And then the next step, the market research step, I think there's a really important role for parks advisory boards and commissions to play in that as well.
And thank you. And what kinds of comments or questions did you receive as you went out and talked with?
Oh, thank you. Council? Yeah. So process questions. I think there were a lot of questions. I think concerns and questions around the integrity of each independent system, and that each system is really unique and has its own needs and wants. And so we heard that. We heard also concerns just about being the little city in the room. I heard that in a couple cities. And yeah, like I said, mostly process questions. How long will this take? What's the commitment look like? What's the outcome? What are examples of where this has been done elsewhere? Those types of questions.
Would you say that it was a generally positive, neutral to positive reception, or was there any resistance?
Yeah, I didn't see any resistance in any of the meetings. I think genuine interest, and as a result of that, good questions, critical questions.
Can I speak to that? I would say the couple city councils that I attended, everyone's dealing with budget issues. So I think there was this initial, is the county asking us? We have to attend to our own. But once Ross explained the process, data sharing, benchmarking, opportunities to save, I think there was, as you can see, Ross has formed this coalition. And I think that in this economic time, this is to be expected.
Okay, so that's just a quick overview of where we're at. I wanted to also share 2026 budget season is here. So we are preparing for the next year. So as a result of that, the CIP, the capital improvement plan, is out. And there are a number of areas of investment in the parks capital plan. So I just wanted to pull out a couple of really, really important bodies of work in the 2026 plan. So we have this fantastic park system. We have an opportunity to think about the future differently as we begin this regional funding conversation. So there's some really key fundamental planning work we need to do to get ourselves in position for that future. And so you'll see in the capital plan kind of a reduction in the investment, direct investment in parks in 26. We're not building any new parks in 26. We are looking at the parks we have and really investing in those parks. And with the limited usage of the different funds, we've been creative about how we're spreading the investments across the county where we have alignment with need. And so that's the kind of the on the ground work that you'll see in real life. There's also this pretty sizable body of planning work that is included in the 26 plan. That's really, I think, very intentional on our part, like I said, to get ourselves into position for the future. So I'll just walk through a few of the items that we're focused on for this next year in terms of planning. First is our ADA transition plan. That we have this amazing system of parks, and many of them were built before the ADA requirements really kicked in, at least in their present form. And so we have an opportunity to think about how we make improvements to be in compliance with the current Americans with Disabilities Act standards. And so we will have a plan in place that lays out every deficiency in our park system and a plan for how we're going to work through those deficiencies and improvements over time. So that's called the ADA transition plan. Number two is our design standards. So when we build a park, we lay out in advance the standards we will utilize when we build that park. So for example, a neighborhood park has a playground, paths, walking areas, grass areas, but doesn't have a restroom. It has park benches. It has shade, certain number of trees, so on and so forth. And then can get into the detail. What types of bench? What's the look and feel of that neighborhood park? So on and so forth. So that design standard step is very important. It allows us to know right out of the gates when we enter into a design and conceptual planning process what we need to think about for that particular site. The other element to this is it really is in sync well with the conversation that City Council of Vancouver and the County Council had in the last several weeks around thinking about future annexation, potential annexation of City of Vancouver. And so this puts us, the planning work in 26 will put us in alignment with the City of Vancouver's design standard and allows us to be in concert with the City of Vancouver. So we're starting that that coordination and planning work with City of Vancouver as well next year. So that's the design standards work in our capital plan. Another element is our asset inventory and asset assessment and asset condition work. So we will bring in a third party who focuses just on this work, essentially walking from park to park, looking at every asset in our system and scoring the condition of that asset. So we know exactly what condition all of our park's amenities are in and where we need to focus our energy and resources to make improvements. So by the end of 26, we should have this fantastic report that shows us exactly what every single element and asset in our system looks like and the state of it. And we'll have a plan for how we're going to replace those aging infrastructure items. So that's the asset inventory condition assessment body of work. And then the last item, affectionately known as the PROST plan, that's the Parks, Recreation, Open Space and Trails plan. It has that really fun acronym title, because that's what's used in state statute per the Growth Management Act and the Resource Conservation Office, which is the main granting body for local parks agencies throughout the state. What it really is, I hate to use that acronym, what it really is a vision for the future of our park system and an opportunity for everyone in the community to weigh in as to what they want to see. So we all know the last PROST plan, fantastic document because it encapsulates a lot of desires throughout the community. The number one desire is trails. It was the number one amenity that folks want to see more of, regional trails. So I would anticipate that will come up again somewhere in the plan.
Ross, would you clarify, are that multi-use trails, or do they specifically say mountain bike versus hiking, equestrian?
It was, thanks for the question. It was just very general. It just said trails of all types. I think it would be safe to assume that it would encapsulate all of those different types of trails.
Yeah.
But if you look at, a map of our trail system, our county trail system, you will see two or three small segments of regional trails that have been constructed, and that's it. When you look at a corresponding metro area anywhere in the United States, you see a robust, well-planned, well-thought-out trails network that's actually been constructed. And so we have a plan. We have an old plan that includes a number of aspirational trails, regional trails throughout the county, but we haven't built them. So I think we need to do some prioritization of which trails, which regional trails, which types of trails do we need to construct first. And so I would anticipate the next system vision plan, PROST plan, whatever you want to call it, will include that work as well.
Yeah.
So that's just a quick update on CIP projects.
Real quick question. You're trying to match the city's design standards. Is that in anticipation of them taking over parks as the annex?
It's a great question. I don't think there's anything firm in terms of what outcomes might be. I think what our council, our county council, and the city staff that presented a couple of weeks ago, if you watched that presentation, there was absolutely a desire on both organizations' parts to start to coordinate, to think this through. And what was clear is there is no predetermined outcome, but that we should absolutely be coordinating and working together. And so this is an opportunity to do that. And then Lindy was going to provide some project updates of current projects underway.
Great. Thanks, Ross. I wanted to share, let's see if I can share, at Hawkinson Community Park in 2023. You might remember, this is Hawkinson Community Park, if you can see my screen. In 2023, we constructed a new disc golf course on this parcel right here. There's a, if you're familiar with Hawkinson, there's a shelter here at a play area. The dog park is over in this space, but we constructed the 18-hole disc golf course. And two sides of that course had a, well, all four sides have a trail around them, about a mile-long trail around the perimeter. But for some reason in the original design, only two legs of that trail had gravel trail. And so we went through a permitting process last year to update the permit so that we could construct the eastern boundary perimeter and the northern boundary perimeter out of gravel. And so we were able to do that, and we hired a contractor and just completed the gravel portion of that project. We still need to seed the area, and that's going to be done in September during the proper time to do that work. But right now the trail's back open, and some of the baskets had been for the disc golf course had been removed, and those have been reinstalled, and I don't anticipate that they're going to need to be removed again. So the very last leg of that project. So some good news. And then at Curtin Creek Community Park, I just want to give a little bit of an update there. This was at some point a live stream, but we're facing east here and looking at the park as it stands today. Tappany, the contractor, has been making good progress on this project. As we look east and we look through this section here in front of us, if you can see the hand moving around, this is all parking area. They've been laying base rock, hoping to, I believe, pave the parking lot in the next few weeks. They have the curb in. Over to the left here, if you can see the hand, this is where the basketball court and the pickleball courts will be installed. I think they also hope to pave that in the next few weeks. In this area here where this hill is, you can see this is the play area, very large play area. The hill slope here is built along with some of the perimeter trail you can see in gravel around the outside. The shelter has been erected. And then over here is the other building that's being constructed, which is the restroom building. It's a four-compartment or four-stall restroom building that's being built. The contractors also started installing play equipment. This is the first play element that's being installed. It's known as the crab trap. I'll show you some pictures in just a second, a little bit closer up. To the right, we can see this is the Field one, the athletic field that'll be our first rugby / soccer field. They've also constructed or started laying gravel for the trail around the perimeter of the park. And you can see it kind of meanders its way through here. We have two viewpoints on the far end, and those are laid out too. Don, can I answer your question?
I'm sorry. Just to go back to Heritage Park, was there a plan to install permanent wet facilities there?
Bathrooms. This is Hawkinson.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Hawkinson, we don't have funding in place, but we have, closed the map. I'll just show you really quick.
Yeah. Because not only are there temporary porta potties there by the play area and the gazebo and such, but I also noticed there was other ones that were installed off of 119th. And I think, I didn't know if those were temporary for the building folks or if that was, parks.
Yeah. I'm sure those were for the construction, the contractors who were installing the gravel work. We did construct if you can see my arrow here, we constructed a driveway here, a loop driveway that cuts across the trail that will allow a future, restroom to be installed. It won't be one, It'd be a compost toilets or
just
pumpable
pit toilet. Yeah.
And then I don't know about longer term. We'd have to ask David. I know we've had conversations about the difficulties of permitting at Hawkinson, but I know it's something that we've thought about.
Yeah. But I just suspect that park is getting a lot more use than we anticipated. It's huge. It's hugely popular is what I'm hearing.
Right. I don't disagree.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, certainly. So back at Curtin Creek, if I can bring up my photos really quick. Is it that easy? Not going to be that easy. Sorry. I thought I had them open. So this is the shelter as it stands today. A little bit upper, more up close. This is the crab trap as it's being installed. Another view of it. It's a pretty cool piece of equipment that we're really excited about. So it hasn't been concrete. There's no concrete in the foundations yet. This is the hill slope. So it doesn't look too fancy right now, but eventually it'll have an embankment slide and a log embankment ladder to climb up. There'll be synthetic turf all over this area, or play grass. Kids will most likely slide down the synthetic grass on their cardboard that they'll bring themselves, and they'll have a really great time. And I had another view from atop the play slope, which I think is this one. So this is on top of that hill looking across the play area. It's pretty cool. So this is a picnic, or this is a future picnic area. This is a turf area. This is a very large playground. And then we've also met with the artist who has been designing the public art sculpture that's going to go in the center of the play area. His name, he's right here, Mauricio Robolino. It is an imaginary bird atop an equilateral triangle sculpture. So he's cut this out. It's pretty spectacular. The bottom portion of it down here where you see the plywood board is all going to be mosaics that he's making by hand in his studio. And you can just see some of those images. The images all represent indigenous birds and plants that you would see within Curtain Creek. So it kind of celebrates the natural elements of Curtain Creek, which is the natural area to the east of the property. So we are more or less on track. We're a little bit behind in the play area with some changes that came about, but we still anticipate that this project's going to complete by the end of the year, and we anticipate celebrating opening the park next spring. We're going to give it some time to let the vegetation grow in over the winter and celebrate that opening next spring. It is partially funded by a grant from the Recreation and Conservation Office of $850,000, and our grant manager with RCO has been visiting us with us regularly. And visiting the site and just keeping track of where we're at. And then I just, I don't have any, well, I guess I do. If I look really closely, sorry. I just wanted to share really quick. Ross, I can stop at any time, but I like to talk about my projects, I guess. At Heritage Farm, since we last met, we had our first meeting with park farm users to talk about public access improvements. And so this is the siting and construction, design and construction of a shelter in this blue area at Heritage Farm. We're at 78th Street at the top, 68th Street at the bottom, with Hazeldale Community Park down here. And so we've talked about how we're going to site, design and install a shelter in this area that will serve a future public trail and also educational programming at the farm and provide a restroom for existing farm users. And then we're also, as a part of this project, developing a trail concept to connect the farm back to Hazeldale Community Park. And you can see some interpretive points along that. So we hired Walker Macy to help us with this work, and they've got a subconsultant, an agricultural planning firm known as Agriburbia, and they all came to the site a couple weeks ago and met with all the farm partners, and we went on a tour, broke up into groups, and so that the farm folks who are using the farm today could actually, you know, talk about their experiences, how they're using the farm, their concerns about increased public access, so that when our consultants are putting together concepts for the siting of the shelter or pavilion, and then also the trail, and how we're going to separate the publicly accessible spaces with the active ag spaces, what that looks like, what their concerns are, so that those can all be considered as a part of the concept development. So that's pretty much what I have in terms of CIP information. Ross, I could give just a couple updates on outreach if you don't mind, or I can wait.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Lindy.
So in I think since we last met, we went to the Vancouver Farmers Market. We had the Produce Pals space there. So that was in the middle of the market. We were able to share information on Orchards Community Park and the improvements that we're working on in the grant application we intend to submit in 2026 for improvements to that park, as well as the ADA transition plan, and try to get folks, find out if folks are interested in participating in that program. We had an activity that we were able to do with children in the park and or in the at the event, which was great. We had trialed that at the East Vancouver, Vancouver's Farmers Market, and it was fantastic. So we spoke to hundreds of people that day. David and I and Evelyn were there, and it was just a great opportunity. It's great to be centered in the market and really get the best access to as many people as possible. I just wanted to share that on August 19th, we have which is next Tuesday, I believe, the Stockford Village Neighborhood Park play dates. This is the third of our four park play dates this year. So it'll be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stockford Village is in the Hazeldale's Phillida area. It's just north of 99th Street near I-5, but technically part of the Phillida Neighborhood Association. So if you're available or free, please come on out and join us there. And then on September 11th, I believe it's a Thursday, that will be our final farmers market of the year. We'll be at the Salmon Creek Farmers Market, which is at Legacy Hospital in Salmon Creek. I believe that's somewhere around 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if you're interested in volunteering with us or just stopping by and say hi, please feel free to. Thank you.
Thanks, Lindy. Appreciate that.
And I have one last item I wanted to, last but not least, and that is that we have we've been very fortunate, and in the past month, to have a fantastic new member join our team, Susie Baxter Harwell, who's Susie comes to us from Metro Parks and Nature, just across the river. And if you want to share anything, Susie is responsible for operations maintenance in our Northeast Park. And she works closely with Matt Baum, who you all have met, to provide services throughout the entire county at all of our 111 park sites.
I'm very excited to be here. It's an amazing park system, and the resources that are available, the natural resources, are just really outstanding. I was over with Metro for 7 years, and prior to that, I'm from the state of Texas, and I worked for a long time with the agency in Austin. So I'm really excited to be here. Thank you.
We're very fortunate to have Susie join our team, and looking forward to some of the great work she's going to do ahead. So we also are fortunate to have been joined by a fantastic young individual, community member. Antone is here, and Antone, just really passionate about making sure that the youth teen voice is heard throughout our county, and that unfortunately we don't have as many presenters at Parks Advisory Board from folks who are in that category. And so Antone reached out to the county, to Chair Marshall, and then I connected with Antone. Antone has some fantastic ideas and thoughts about the future of parks and how they can appeal to youth and teens. And so, Antone, I'm going to turn it over to you. Antone's prepared a presentation on concepts and ideas, the benefits, and fantastic outcomes when we invest in parks amenities for youth and teens throughout our community. So Antone's really particularly passionate about skate parks. And so, Antone, we'll turn it over to you.
Hello, I'm Antone. How do I share my presentation here?
Should be a share button up at the top, just next to the leave button. Don't hit the leave button. Do you see it?
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Yep, we see you and hear you.
All right. My name is Anton Jamil. I'm 14 years old, and I go to iTech Prep, which is in Richfield. And I'm also a member of the Clark County Youth Commission. And I've been skating since 2020. So some of the current skate parks we have are pretty far. The closest to Salmon Creek would be Swift Skate Park, which is 6.6 miles as the crow flies. But that translates to like a 10-mile drive or something like that. And that can take a while sometimes. And if you're taking the bus, they can be very hard to navigate. And a lot of the times it turns into a full day trip, which doesn't always align with someone's schedule. And a lot of these skate parks, they're very crowded during like peak hours. Some of the benefits of skate parks are that they promote physical activity and provide safe space. There are a lot of studies that show that skate parks reduce juvenile delinquency and gives them a creative outlet to, well, be creative and get outside. So my proposed solutions for that problem is build a skate park at 1014 Northwest 149th Street. And or build a skate park at Kleinline Park. The benefit of doing it at 1014 Northwest 149th Street is it's in a expanding neighborhood that has a large number of youth. And it's next to multiple schools, which are kind of the demographic who this would serve. And it's also a lot owned by the county. The benefit at Kleinline would be that it's already in a popular park. There is free space, and there are bathrooms in place already, and parking. So I went out and I got some community support for this. I started a petition that got almost 90 local signatures. I believe it's sitting at 89 right now. And a couple local skaters commented on building a skate park. Like Giovanni says, it would be a great addition to Salmon Creek because there's kind of a void there. Adam Boretsky says that he's a local skater in Clark County, or in Salmon Creek, sorry. And he'd very much enjoy it. That way we could save gas and be easier. And my dad actually commented, and well, he said it would be much more easy to get them to skate park because coordinating rides with other parents can be difficult at times. All right. Thank you.
Anton, thank you. This is fantastic. I don't know if there are any questions for Anton or any thoughts.
Just a few thoughts. Anton, thanks for the presentation. Solid, great work. So exactly what you should be doing is pushing for things that you're passionate about. I know a lot about that. One of the things that you touched on that I've been really passionate about myself here on the PAB is access to our parks through the public transportation system, the bus. And a lot of our parks aren't located, or excuse me, the other way around. We don't have bus stops located by our parks. And Ross, you've heard me talk about it before, and I'll keep beating that drum until I'm a retired member of the PAB. But it's important that we always try to keep that in mind when we're building new parks or suggesting locations, that the transportation system has got to grow with it in corollary. Otherwise, no one would be able to use the park. And I was just going to ask, Anton, do you use Current?
I don't think so. I usually just ride the C-Tram.
Okay. All right. Just super curious about that. And I'm sure there's funding to be had because, you know, at the risk of being silly in the PAB is I think there's probably more skaters in that vicinity than there are horse riders. Just taking a gander there. But thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, there are definitely a lot of skaters in the area because a lot of the times I'll go out and there's the one Fred Meyer on Kenny Road. And sometimes I'll see people skating stairs around there or at the school.
So I teach in the area, and I know there's definitely a need for it because a lot of people do want to skate. I'd be curious your thoughts on where you think that would be best in the park. I know, like, my wondering as someone who's been to Klein Line a bunch but never during like a baseball time is like, you know, do we need all the parking? Like, is all the parking utilized, or is it like too big of a parking lot for the spot? I mean, I know there's huge swaths of field after the baseball fields, but again, like, we'd have to make sure they know there's a path to get there and that the signage would be available. So I don't know your thoughts on, so if Klein Line was something you were thinking about, Antone, where do you think it would best fit in the park?
So you know where like the playground is kind of there? There's a giant open field that I feel isn't really being utilized as much as it could be. So I think that would be the ideal location.
Okay. Yeah, just, and then that way there's bathrooms there and stuff still available, mm-hmm. and drinking fountains and everything. Okay. I was just curious. Yeah. Like I'm trying to brainstorm visually, like how big the field is. I just know that like, as I can see on the map, there's huge open fields. And then, well, isn't there a road back to more baseball parking lot?
I believe there's
a second parking lot, right?
Yeah, there is. A second parking lot. And for the most part, I don't see that being utilized that much when I go to swim there.
Yeah, I've never seen how full the first parking lot gets. Like, it's usually pretty sparse. I mean, I guess I haven't been there on a day like today. I would be curious as to like if we were able, like again, if we had the assets. I know we're not building anything new next year, but if we had the availability, it makes sense of like, you know, maybe not pushing into a park because then you have sprinklers to reroute and other things, but like building over a part of the park that's not being utilized currently as is.
Thanks, John. Antone, do you have any idea how much it would cost to construct a skate park?
Yeah, skate parks typically cost anywhere from $25 to $75 per square foot. So it really depends on the size a lot.
Good, thank you.
I have a question, Antone. Have you had a chance to think about how kids your age could get to the park without their parents from that general neighborhood area? Are there safe sidewalks or trails to get to there that you've thought about?
Yeah, for sure. From my neighborhood to Klein Line, you can go like two ways. Either go past the Fred Meyer and then go down Highway 99 a little bit until you get to Klein Line, or you can go around and start like heading towards Phillida, and then you can catch the back end of the Salmon Creek Trail, and you can walk by 3-ish miles to there. But if it was closer to the neighborhood and the school, that wouldn't be as much of an issue the getting there, because there are very good sidewalks and it's probably going to be less of a walk or bike ride or whatever.
I think one thing that could be interesting to see is I believe we're supposed to do phase one in Ridgefield for our pump track this year. I don't know if it's going to get done. We have a meeting tomorrow. I can ask the update on that. But, you know, maybe doing some sort of combination, because that's a very unique asset. And I don't think we have one in Clark County. And so, like, some sort of combination could be cool, depending on, obviously, the resources and the space available. But then it would kind of serve two different populations at the same time. Be more versatile.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Last week, I was out in the Yakult, and, you know, not a real dense population area, but they do actually have a skate park there at the Yakult Park, and it was very busy. There was a little bit of a, I guess you call it a waiting line to use the ramps. So that was impressive. And that was out, you know, way out there. So something in Salmon Creek, I'm sure, where there's a lot more population base, probably gets some use.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to add that Anton and I had a conversation and just talked about process. How do we get from an idea like a skate park to where we're actually constructing it? And so it made me start to think about how we in 2026, when we develop this PROS plan, this vision document for the future of our system, we come up with this big list of aspirations and things that we need to have, things we want to have. How do we decide what comes next? And so I think part of that is a really strong prioritization or sequencing decision-making matrix within the document that helps us decide, that then feeds our capital plan on an annual basis. But another important part of this, and I mentioned this to Anton, is people's voices in the community and making sure that we're hearing those voices and making sure that our youth and teen voices or any other voice in our community that isn't currently at the table is invited to the table and comes to the table. So I wanted to extend, I did extend and want to reiterate that here, Anton, to encourage you to stay plugged in to Parks Advisory Board. I'm going to reach out to you when it's time to start the work to think about our next vision document, PROS plan, because I think you and your friends' voices are going to be really, really vital in that process. And we'd love to hear not just ideas about the skate park, but also other ideas you might have. So any other thoughts, questions?
Can I say a few words?
Please.
So I'm a park and trails planner, Anton. Thanks for coming. I know a lot of people have said that already, but it is, I think, heartwarming when folks, when young people come to these meetings and learn the process and try to advocate for themselves and their friends and the community. And I just wanted to share with you at Curtain Creek, the park that I was talking about earlier, there was a lot of organization through rugby groups, which are youth athletic groups that really push the county to move forward with our first rugby field. And so where you're starting now is how you affect change. So if you just keep organizing and communicating what you want and following the process, you're eventually going to get what you want. I did want to share that there is another skate park in the Hazeldale area. It is smaller, but it's at Tenney Creek on 88th Street. So that's around 25th Avenue, I believe. And it's a smaller park. It's not probably as large as you might like, but you should definitely check it out. It's right on 88th Street. I can put the address for you in the chat box if you'd like, or I can email it to you. And the park that you suggested, the address you suggested, that is a county park on 149th Street. That's Blueberry Park. We have a prioritization in the order in which we would develop a park, our parks. We have 17 undeveloped park sites, and Blueberry is not at the top of the list. It's more towards the bottom, but it's more not as likely for us to build a skate park in a neighborhood park, but Tenny Creek seems to be an exception to that. So that's a neighborhood park with a skate park. But I just want to give you some information there. And we're happy to chat with you anytime you have an idea.
Then I just wanted to ask Parks Advisory Board and Amy, if we can add this to the queue for future PAB conversation and consideration. And that is the idea of having a youth teen member on PAB on an ongoing basis. So
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest user of parks is kids. Ask them what they want. And I think the open houses that I've been to recently, kids have been very expressive about what they want at various parks. And it would be great to have somebody on here.
At the Curtain Creek open house we had in 2024, there were, I think, 60 kids or so that showed up to that. So.
And you've got 90 on your list.
Yeah.
Hey, Anton, I'll be reaching out to you and look for my email. Thanks again for coming. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good presentation.
I'm done. New business. So this is really just informational at this point, but yeah so next month, we have a number of projects, as you heard from Lindy, number of projects in active construction phase. And so we thought it would be a fantastic opportunity to get in a vehicle and head out and go check those out for our September meeting. So the plan, kind of concept here at this point, is visit three sites. One is Heritage Farm and see what's happening that Lindy talked about in terms of public access, but also our Clean Water Division is currently in the midst of a significant project to improve the creek waterway and wetland in that. So it'd be a really cool, if you've driven by it, you've seen the construction. a lot of soil. So that'll still be underway next month's meeting. Additionally, the Curtain Creek project, I imagine in a month that will be further along and we'll be able to really check that out. And then the third site is Harmony Sports Complex, because we are in the midst of a brand new parking lot project to that site and wanted to show you some other things at that park. So that is the plan for next month's meeting. So that was really just an information sharing opportunity for us.
So we're going to meet someplace or?
Yeah, we haven't fully planned out logistics yet, but yeah, we'll meet at a location. It may be 78th Street Operations Facility. We'll get that to you. And then we'll depart in a bus. Amy procured a bus. And so we will depart and go out to those three sites.
Great. Thank you. We got down to the round table. Anything for the good of the order?
I wanted to make sure Anton understood that our role here was just to hear about it. It was an informational briefing only. So the fact that we aren't saying go forward and I make a motion is because we'll have to figure out how to do that later. But I think you got a lot of emotional and intellectual support from this group. You're just not going to hear a motion being made on this item today, not to mean that it's not important. And as a older person who deals with skateboard kids periodically, I think it's an incredibly good sport that creates just the amazing balance. And I'm glad you wear helmets, because some of those disc golfers aren't wearing helmets and some of those pickleball people aren't wearing helmets and they're the ones that get hurt. But you at least do your best not to get hurt and never take your helmet off. As an equestrian, I will tell you that, young man, never take that helmet off. You'll save your brain. Okay. And thank you. It's a good job. I don't have anything else as a round table other than, yeah.
Are we getting anywhere on elections or not, whatever it is? No. Nominations.
We sent out, it's been advertised. So it's being advertised currently. And at the end of this month, I think, is we'll get the applications in and then we'll review them and schedule interviews.
All right. At least it's moving forward. Thank you. We got nothing else?
That was my question as well, but I was just going to let Lindy know that I think I can come for a little while to the Kleinlein Park open house for a part of that time period.
Kleinlein?
Yeah, Kleinlein.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, not Kleinlein. Stockford Village.
Park. Oh, Stockford Village. Okay. Yeah. I can email you the invite.
Okay, and Lindy, you. I think I can come to the Salmon Creek one. That's September 11th.
Okay. Yes.
That's it. Thank you all. We're adjourned.
Okay.
Thanks, teammates.
Thank you.
Good job.